Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Quick update. Dan Mullen on the SEC media call. A couple things. He also announced that two of his assistants have also tested positive. Did not give a specific number about players that are either in quarantine or isolated. Both Ed Orgeron and Mullen did not know if the game is going to be played on Saturday. By the way, Miles Brennan is listed doubtful for LSU if they even can play the quarterback. And Mullen did say, regarding the attendance or the comment about the crowd, quote, I certainly apologize if I offended anyone out there, saying he meant he wants to pack the swamp in whatever capacity health officials allow. The media is already having a field day with it, which go ahead, have at it. I still wait for someone to ask Texas A&M what the crowd was for the game on Saturday, because it certainly wasn't just 24,000. You're screaming for somebody for an event that didn't happen versus something that actually did happen at Texas A&M. We have talked the last couple of days after what was a high-scoring weekend of the SEC. Seven schools scored 40 points or more. We are watching numbers offensively that you become accustomed to, like a 63-48 game with Alabama and Ole Miss. Every time we talk about quarterbacks and offense, and Darren Slack, the former quarterback at UCF and longtime quarterback coach, joins us, I know I get educated and learn more, and Darren's kind of come back and join us. Darren, welcome back. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, it's great to be on, Mark. Thanks again for having me.
Okay, so in a broad view, when someone says, man, what's going on in college football, it seems like everyone's putting up points and yards and running the same type of offense, and we'll kind of get a little specific here, but is there anything new that's happening, or is this just the evolution of what has been the spread, RPOs, and tempo, and we shouldn't be surprised of what we're seeing offensively?
I don't think the word is surprise. I think it's the evolution concept. I think one of the keys that most people miss, and this was something I was talking to somebody about the other day that helped me, Dub Maddox, my associate, he mentioned one of the things that's helped him a lot is this concept of content sharing, information sharing. You know, a lot of coaches are meeting in the off season, getting together, sharing their best ideas behind the scenes, and that's creating this widening of offensive success as coaches are implementing this very very effective RPO / athletic quarterback offense that's creating a lot of problems for defenses.
When we were communicating a couple days ago, I asked if perhaps what happened a few years ago when we looked at substitutions, and I reminded people, you know, Nick Saban was among those coaches that said, look, we're snapping the ball too quickly. We're talking about increasing injuries with the number of plays, and there was the idea of not allowing the ball to be snapped until we had 10 seconds off the play clock. But how big of a factor is that, where if you want to substitute on defense, it's up to you, but if I don't substitute on offense and they put the ball down, I can go? How big of a factor is that in what we're watching with offenses?
Well, in keeping with the whole idea of go fast and keep the defense on their heels, that's the idea. You know, UCF plays so fast because they don't substitute. And if you don't substitute, you don't have to stop. And, you know, that's kind of like you can't even breathe watching them play because the minute the ball's put down, they're going. And I think there's real value to that because it does force defenses into more vanilla looks, less pressure. Defensive linemen can't attack as effectively, so you're able to do a lot more if you can get that type of offense running. I would add that to the list of reasons why some teams are excelling, you know, with holes in their offense, if you will. Not everybody is great everywhere, but if you have a couple of great players and you can go fast, you can hide some of those gaps in your offensive skills.
Can you do, or the game do, something to change that? Like, would you adjust that rule or just say, listen, this is where it is and we've gotten creative offensively? Or would you recommend, hey, maybe we don't snap the ball until this, or listen, that's just football and here's how the game's evolved?
I'm an offensive guy, so I loved watching Alabama Ole Miss. You know, Mac Jones and I know each other, and I was really happy to see him playing so well. But the reality of it is the defenses are always going to adapt. They're always going to find a way. And they're given the opportunity to substitute like anybody else. But at the end of the day, they're at a real disadvantage, not just for reasons of scheme. You know, you're talking about better athletic quarterbacks that now neutralize what's called man advantage. See, defenses operate in a plus-one world when a quarterback can't run. But if you put a quarterback in a mobile position, make him a dual threat, now the defense has to account for him on every play, which takes a man out of coverage. It creates problems for their dual defenders, those guys that have run and pass responsibilities. And that's what I believe has been the single greatest issue for why offenses have excelled. It's the way the quarterback play has improved, both athletically and preparation-wise.
You and I have talked over the years about trickle down and trickle up in trends. So I'm kind of curious. High schools have adapted the spread and tempo for a variety of reasons, sometimes roster size, and then sometimes that also has trickled its way to college and to some degree to the pros, and 7-on-7 cam. So I'm kind of curious, in the development of players, is there something to be said that we're taking the best athletes and we're putting them more on offense than perhaps on defense? Is that any factor in all this too?
I don't know that that's it. I think what we have to realize is that, you know, players are certain, they have certain bents, they have certain capacities. It's just that our preparation of certain key positions is improving dramatically. In other words, there was never the kind of access to across-the-board development of quarterbacks like there is today. Mm-hmm. It's a thing. You know, I started this thing, and I was one of the only guys that was ever doing specialized quarterback training. Now it's in every city, and the guys that are doing it are getting much better. Kids are getting much more consistent mechanically, and they're much more prepared to be able to step into a college game. So what you're getting is kids are better prepared for college, better prepared for the pros, and that just makes everything better when your quarterback knows what's going on because he's an extension of the coach. And when he's able to see what the coach sees and able to do what the coach wants, you've got huge weapons, and that makes things tough on defenses.
I brought this stat up about the NFL. It probably would take me a long time to do it in college, but the first 5 weeks last year down in the NFL, there were 274 holding penalties. After 5 weeks this year, there's 133. We had no off-season workouts. We had no preseason, so it cannot be technique in blocking. And yet numbers offensively are up in the NFL. Maybe the league wants more scoring, but that would certainly explain some things in the NFL. The Giants are 0-5, one of the worst offensive lines. They've been called for one holding penalty. So that might be the reason in the NFL. I don't know what the numbers are in college, but that clearly has to be a factor in the NFL.
Well, certainly. I mean, penalties are always a problem, but let me tell you, any offensive line coach that tells you they're not teaching their guys how to hold without being caught is probably lying. I think a lot of guys are looking for an edge, looking for opportunities. And, you know, because of the absolute physicality of defensive linemen, I think the offensive line now have a real challenge of being able to contain the athleticism of these defensive linemen. And so, yeah, they're going to find more opportunities to sneak a hand here or grab here because they don't want to lose their job. They don't want to be the guy who put their quarterback at risk. I think that's more of a factor of how good defensive lines are getting at penetration and athleticism.
One other interesting thing that is a trend in college and the pros is coaches' willingness to go on fourth and short a lot more. Have you noticed that? And the trend to now be more confident. If I'm on your side of the field at fourth and six, I'm a lot more confident rather than punt from the 45.
Well, in high octane, high performance offense, coaches who feel like they've got a better opportunity to move the ball will continue to do that. It's field management, yes, but they're also taking the risk based on the chances of staying in the drive are better than the 20 yards or so will net gain if we kick it. That's really kind of what they're thinking. And we can't field goal kick it necessarily because we might not have the kicker to get it done. So in that 20-yard window of, say, 45-yard line down to the 30-yard line or so, yeah, a lot of coaches are going to be thinking statistically it's probably better just to take a shot if they got their offense that can do it.
Let me ask you about some quarterbacks, which you always enjoy when we discuss. You mentioned at Alabama and a player that you know sometimes unfairly. Well, he's just fitting into the system. Well, you better be good to put the ball in the right spot with elite receivers and understand that offense. So the progression of Matt at Alabama, what stands out to you?
Well, I think it's a function of maturity. Mac Jones, like I said, I've known him for a long time, and I met with him last spring, and I told him right away, just, you know, the guy's 6'4", he's prototypical NFL-sized body. He's got a lot of great elite athletes around him and a good offensive line this year. He could have the Joe Burrow year. It's what kind of what everybody's going to be defining now for the next couple of years. We're saying Kyle Trask may be the next Joe Burrow. So Joe is going to be kind of the de facto guy for the next year or two. And I think Mac is the guy that's going to have that kind of a year. He's set up for it. He's got the athletes. He's got the offensive line. He's got the offensive coordinator in Sarkisian. I think people will be very surprised by the big year that he has. And here's the thing. He's very accurate. And this is very important, is that when you throw the ball accurately, you put yourself in a position with great athletes to do great things. And he's done that over the first few games. We'll see how he does against Georgia, but I think each week he's just getting better, and I think people will be surprised how high he ends up at the end of the season.
What's the difference of Kyle Trask today versus the guy that took over last year?
More time with Dan Mullen. You know, I think Dan Mullen is the reason why Florida's back to what they are. The guy's a genius offensively. He knows how to teach kids how to make good decisions. Kyle's a great player, and he's got great players around him. The thing about it was it's just decision-making and the stuff he was trying to do too much last year, and he's matured a little bit, and now he's taking care of the football, and Florida's going to succeed. They're going to be very effective. You know, the SEC, you mentioned that earlier, why they're succeeding so effectively in the scoring. If you look at the offensive coordinators or the guy running offense in the SEC, you've got six of the best minds in offense in college in the SEC right now. You know, Sarkisian, Mullen, Leach, Kiffin, Fisher, and more. These guys do a great job preparing quarterbacks to get better, and Kyle Trask is the beneficiary of a Dan Mullen-type influence, which is, you know, building a kid who can make good decisions, take care of the ball, and make plays.
Give me your thoughts as to what UCF struggles with false starts are, what is common that can be corrected there, and how much of that is on Dylan Gabriel?
Oh, it's not on Dylan right now. The problem is defense. You know, we lack leadership on defense.
No, but I'm asking why so many false starts. I mean, not just like why they lost to Tulsa.
Oh,
but,
I thought you were making a metaphor of a false
start. No. I'm talking about
a false start. My bad. Why so many false starts? I think that comes to communication. It certainly isn't crowd noise. it's more of a function of communication and youth. Usually those are the two things that are tied to it. The center has got to do a better job of you know, getting the ball where it's got to be and paying attention to what's being done. But I think Dylan's just got to maintain, you know, keep his head. And the offensive line and the guys have to start paying attention to what's going on. I think fatigue will cause you to become less focused, and that's usually a sign of immaturity or youth. And that may be some issues why they're facing that.
Give me one thing that Trevor and everybody can get better, but is there one thing that Trevor Lawrence still needs to work on to really be good at the next level? There's a lot to like, but is there one thing that you go, do this and he can be even better?
Well, a lot of that stuff isn't going to be stuff we see. You know, I think there's things that happen behind the scenes in the development of a quarterback that end up becoming the reason why they don't progress. And I think for Trevor, you know, all the things we see he does are very well. So, you know, whoever's going to get him is going to back the Brinks truck up to his house. But he'll, you know, he has danger of ending up in the same issue that Burrow and Mayfield ended up in, and that is weak programs, there's weak players around him, and it'll be the second contract, they say, that gets him where they got to go. I couldn't tell you what those issues are because I don't know Trevor personally, but I think he has more tools than the most we've seen from an NFL standpoint in the last few years. I mean, he's clearly going to be a tremendous player, no question about it. But I would say for any quarterback that's coming to the next level, there's going to be the need to really educate yourself on how defenses disguise, how effectively they take things away, and how they neutralize great players like him, and then being able to overcome that. He's a competitor. There's no question about it. So he'll do the work necessary to get himself up to speed.
Darren, great catching up. Always enjoyed it. I appreciate it. Stay safe. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
Darren Slack, the former UCF quarterback and quarterback coach. Always good stuff. Come back. Scott actually wraps it up. I got a COVID test to get to next.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.